Today's Bible reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, from verse 7 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, from verse 7 to 9. And it reads, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Verse 9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Amen.
Amen.
For the reading, for the carry. Good to be here this morning. You know, one of the things that I struggle with, if I come to Monday morning, I struggle to start to put a lesson together for Sunday. I kind of have to wait to see how things sort of go through the week, you know, who you meet, the people you talk to. This week, in some of the homes that I've been in, some of the houses where I've met people, or coffee shops where we've met up to talk and speak, and through that kind of inspired me a bit towards the teaching that I want to do this morning, the lesson that I want to give. A lot of people, you know, they kind of look for some form of structure. Obviously, in our schools, when we study homiletics and hermeneutics and teach by lesson outlays and that kind of thing, you know, sometimes I'm just a strong believer in just letting it flow and allowing God to speak. Because what I discover with meeting members of this congregation is that it's a struggle. You know, I say it most Sundays when they get up, life is not easy, life is a struggle. And I know, brethren, you know, just from talking with people this week, that this congregation is full of people struggling. So many things that people are facing on a day-to-day basis, all the hardships, and it's a difficult journey. You know, it's not easy. And I'm going to give you some assurance today through teaching, because this is what assures me. The way that we gain our strength, the way that we gain our stability is when we look in the Word of God. You need to come here on a Sunday, no matter how awful you feel. You need to be here. And let me tell you something, that you deserve to take something away that is going to help you. You deserve that. Because this life is difficult. There are people in here from all walks of life, and we'll try and encourage this morning, uplift and build, because we need it. We need it. This walk is not easy. And there are people in this room, I know, from conversations this week, I know that you are going through some real hardships. And so I want to encourage you. I want to uplift you, to edify you, to remind you that, you know, this journey, we will do it together. We're going to do this together. We're going to stand by each other and get each other through this. Not distant. We can't be a distant congregation, brethren. We've got to be together. We've got to be close. So that we can be the strength, because when you become a Christian, a lot of people have said to me this, "Paul, I've heard this probably four or five times this week. Sometimes on a Sunday I just don't feel worthy enough. I don't feel like that. I feel like an hypocrite. How can I sit there when I look at myself the way that I look at myself?" And sometimes, brethren, that's what we do. But you know something, let me remind you of this. When you give your life to Christ, your sins are forgiven. On the day that you give your life to Christ in baptism, your sins are wiped out, they're washed away. Do you know the people who remember them? Us. Not God. In the old covenant, they covered the sin over with a bit of blood on the mercy seat. They covered sin. But in the New Testament, in the Word, as the Bible teaches, when we give our life to Christ in baptism, our sins are wiped away. Then we begin our journey. And on this journey, we fall, we get up, we fall, we get up, we fall, we get up. One of the biggest mistakes we make in our life sometimes is we fall and stay down. You know, I think as a child, a baby would do that. You know, if a baby fell, he would probably lie on the floor and cry and roll about and scream and wait for somebody to come and pick them up. But you know, Christians, as we grow and mature, when we get down, listen, if I was walking down the town and I tripped up, I'd quickly get up. But sometimes in our Christian walk, we take too long. We fall down and stay down there. And I'm encouraging you, brethren, get yourself up, pick yourself up, get back on your feet, because be assured of this, Christ has forgiven your sins of the past, and as we commit sins today, we can go to Him with a repentant heart and a willingness to change, and He will forgive. Everyone here today is at a different levels. So I ask you to bear that in mind when we look at each other. When we look at each other, remember we are at different levels. There are what we might call mature Christians. That doesn't mean in age, okay? That doesn't mean in age. I'm talking about spiritually mature. They've been through more, they've experienced more. They're still going though. And there may be some who are new on this walk and they're just developing and growing and beginning to understand. And sometimes we can look at people and expect them to be where we are. What we have to remember is that people are at different levels. There are some people who know the Bible better than others. There are some people who know how to pray. There are some people who struggle with that. Some people know what sins to avoid. Some people are doing things that don't even know the sin until it's pointed out or guided in their life. Everyone here today is at different levels. Brethren, wherever you are in your walk in this life, I want you to take note of this, because every person in this room here belongs here. This is your home. You are family. You are members of this body. And we unite together. That is what we have to do, is come together. I want you to know something very important. I want you to be assured of this. Your salvation. Be assured of it. John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Do you understand what that means? When we go to Christ, when we give our lives to Him, He will not cast you out. In fact, our Lord stands through us through thick and thin, through all our trials and all our complaints and all our struggles. The only people that take us away from the presence of our Lord is ourselves. And this is why I say we belong here. Why? Because Christ says, by no means will I cast you out. I accept you. I take you. Our work is to walk this walk in a way that will get us to our eternal destiny and our eternal life. When you come to Christ, He will not cast you out. And you are here today with your burdens and with your struggles and with the problems and you know, sometimes we come in church and we say, how are you? And you go, yeah, I'm great. And really, you're feeling terrible. Or sometimes we see people and you ask them how they're doing. Or they may ask me how I'm doing. I may say, yeah, I'm doing great. And deep down, I'm probably not. And so we need to understand this. We are a family, united. We have to be united. We have to be together. We have to be able to be there for one another. Regardless of our imperfections, our Lord will not cast us out. Our salvation is dependent upon our walk and staying strong and firm and faithful in Him. I want to say this. This is through a few conversations this week in Christians' homes. I want to say this. You are not unworthy. No one in this room is unworthy. To say that you were unworthy is to say that God died for nothing. The Lord died for nothing. The Lord counted as worthy. God counted as worthy. You are worthy. You're not too bad a sinner, because we all sin. Don't categorize sin. The bigger sins, the smaller sins. Sin is sin. Take seriously the smaller things as well. Do you know the smaller things can keep you out of heaven? You know, don't categorize those sins in your life. So don't sit and feel, my sin's too big in comparison to others, so I don't belong here. The Lord doesn't see it that way. We all fall short of the glory of God. If you've got two wires and you're going to join them together, as soon as you join them together, they connect. It doesn't matter how far apart they are. They will never be right until they connect. And the point is this, you could just be an inch away. You could be that. You could be 2 miles away. It will make no difference to being 2 inches away. The point is this, that you are worthy and you belong here. And you sit in this room with your fellow sinners, including me, because we are all striving and we're all thriving and trying to get through this journey together. You belong. We looked at the passage that our brother Kenny read in Joshua 1, verse 7 through 9. And it says in verse 7, be strong and very courageous, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful when you go. Now, this account was written, and this reference is with reference to the fact that Moses is dead, and Joshua is commissioned to lead the people on into the promised land. And the assurance is given here about being strong and courageous, being careful what to obey the law that Moses, the servant Moses, had given. That was their instruction. How do we get to our destiny? Well, the instruction was simply, you've got to be strong, you've got to be courageous. He says, you have got to fix yourself on the law that Moses was given. And he said, do not turn from it. Don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. You have got to go straight. Fixing yourself on that destiny, that promised land. That was the reference that was given to Joshua. Why? Because the Bible says that you may be successful. Not successful in your careers on this earth. Not successful in your universities and not successful in gaining big bank accounts. We're talking about the greatest success that we should desire, our eternal salvation. They were heading to the promised land, and in order for them to get there and to have the success when they get there, they had to be strong, they had to be courageous, they had to be careful, they had to observe and obey the law that was given to them, and they were not to look from any other direction but straight. That is our way. My advice today, let God be your focal point. That is my advice. Let God be your focal point. Let God be the one person that you are focused on and fixed on, and you don't take your eyes off him. In every single situation of your life, your troubles, your trials, your struggles, your burdens, your good times, your bad times, your jobs, careers, studies, whatever you are doing, let God be your focal point in every situation of your life. And listen, he was told in the Old Testament, don't look to the left or to the right, look straight ahead. That changes so many things in your life, because when Christ is your total focus, do you know what we become? We become more like him. We become more like him. We are on our journey to our eternal place. And I don't want to be distracted by the world. I don't want the world to stand in my way and stopping me reach my eternal place. And so I want to focus on him. And if that makes me more like him, that will help me to change the things that I'm struggling with in my life. You see, we become more like him. So we, when we fix our eyes on him, become seekers of righteousness. Why? Because we're looking at him. The decisions we're making are based on him. The way that we live our life is based on him. We become seekers of holiness. Why? Because we see him in our presence. And we want to be holy because he is a holy God. And we want to dedicate our life to him in every single way. You see, the mistake we make, we come here Sunday and fix our eyes on him at the table and then we go home. And that will not work. It will not work. This sight and vision that we have of our Lord must be maintained from the minute we walk out this door. To become developers of the fruit of the Spirit, to become successful in the gap in your life. To be magnets to the world and the light on the hill that everybody will see and say, this person is different. I don't know what the secret is, but there is something different. And whatever trials we go through, whatever burdens we go through, when we fix our eyes on our God, on our Lord, everything will change. Focus on Christ keeps sin at bay. Why? Because, listen, when I was a child, focus on my mother stopped me doing a lot of things that I wanted to do that I shouldn't have done. Why? Because if I did something and she saw me and it was wrong, I'd be in trouble. And in those days, you did get a hit. And so growing up as a child, when my mother was around, it changed my character. I had to be right. If I see a Christian sister or brother coming down the street as a young person, you change the way you are. You're all really, really good until they've gone, and then you get back to yourself. But listen, our Lord is with us 24/7. Fix your eyes on him. It will change the way that you live. Don't take sin like it's just part of your life and it's just something that doesn't matter. Sin is serious. It keeps you out of heaven. So therefore, I fix my eyes on him. Why? I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to get things wrong in my life. I want to walk this walk and make this journey. In Hebrews 12:25, we read, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape and refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. You see, those in the Old Testament did not escape. When Moses spoke, his voice shook the earth. They heard the God speaking through the prophet. They heard his voice. And when Moses spoke, his voice shook the earth. And God says, I will shake heaven and earth. Who speaks? God speaks. If Christ is your focal point, you will be listeners of him. You'll be listeners of him. Why? Because I want to get it right. I want to be right before him. In the Old Testament, those brethren who didn't listen on the earth, they paid the price. They didn't escape the consequences. In Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, when you focus your eyes on God, we are set because we are called to have a tremendous respect for God. The greatest respect for God. So much respect for him that every day of my life I've got to wake up and remember who he is, what he means to me, what he's done for me, and how he will make and enable me to walk this journey. Because when we respect God, we will avoid sin. The sin that hurts our God is something I don't want to do. I don't want to offend my God. Growing up, I didn't want to offend my mother. I didn't want to offend my father. When I did things that were wrong, I didn't want them to know, because I knew if they knew, it would upset them. And they would be angry. with me and disappointed. And here we have the living God, the creator of the world, who has given life through his Son Jesus Christ, who we receive through baptism. And I want to respect him tremendously and avoid anything that would insult him or hurt him, but more important, would keep me out of my heaven. Because one day I want to spend eternity with him. The way, brethren, this is the important, the way to get your life in order. We sit here today with all kinds of problems. This is important. The way to get your life in order is to be aware of God's presence. That will keep your life in order. Our focal point is God. Present. What's the best example? Where two or three are gathered together, I am in their midst. Have you thought about that today, that this morning in this assembly, God is in our midst? In our midst. He's heard your songs. He's seen your faces. He's heard your prayers. He's listened to your hearts. He's heard what's going on in your minds. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm in their midst. Are you singing to Christ this morning? Are we singing these incredible songs this morning, beautiful songs? You know, we're singing to him in our presence. You see, when you focus your mind on him being present, it will change the way you sing. It will change what comes out of here, not the tune, not whether we've got the bass, tenor, alto, soprano. I'm talking about what's in here. When your heart pours out with the words contained within those songs, because we are praising our God. Be aware of God's presence. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And I'm telling you that if you do this, problems in your home will be resolved because of God's presence. You go through turmoil in your house, make sure God's in the focal point in your home. Problems in your private times will be resolved because of God's presence. So if we have problems in our private time when we're on our own, these things will be resolved when we open our eyes to the fact that God is present. You know, problems in your work, in your schools, in your colleges, because often we assume that this gathering is the gathering where God is, and then when we go out into the world, he's no longer there. But when we are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And so the problems in your work and schools and colleges, be aware of God's presence, and you will overcome. Because God is with you. Not just here, he's with you. His presence will change the way you treat your wife and husband. If you was with your wife, or the husband was with his wife, or the wife with her husband, and you visualize God present, you would change maybe the way that you speak to her. Why? Because I don't want to disappoint my God. I don't want to insult my wife. Because I want to be in this environment. It will change the way you treat the community that you live. Because sometimes you may be out and somebody's offended you in your neighborhood and you're not happy. And you may just react in a way that is not godly. But you think, God is present. I need to act like him. And I need to set an example. It will help the way you avoid sin. How you treat your fellow Christians. How you stop gossip and discouragement. How you adopt true Christian love. How you avoid sin and hate everything that is a violation to the true and living God. And we, brethren, together, with this acknowledgement, fix your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because if we don't, our eyes will look elsewhere. What did he say? Don't look to the right, don't look to the left. Just look straight ahead. Look at the Lord. And we as Christians have our Lord, God's way, In Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Fix your eyes on Jesus, who did that himself from the date of birth. We always think of Jesus on the cross at the end. The moment that he was born, he picked up that cross and carried it all the way to Calvary. All through his life, he experienced the sin. He was a carpenter. I wonder how many times he hit his hand or cut himself on something or did something that affected him. He understood what it was like to be hungry. He understood what it was like to be thirsty. He understood what it was like to be hated. And he understood what it was like to be at times alone. And he took that cross as an example, and he carried it through his life all the way to his crucifixion. And he says, if you want to come after me, you're going to have to carry your cross. And how do we do that? By fixing our eyes on him who did this himself. And what did he do? He conquered sin. He conquered sin. Romans 8:37, God wants you to be more than a conqueror. More. More than a conqueror. He wants you to get through this life. In the Old Testament, he wanted his people to make the promised land. In the New Testament, he wants you and me to make heaven. He wants you to be a conqueror. You will not be a conqueror just on a Sunday morning for a few hours a week. You have to make Christ the total focal surrounding and the focal point of your life. And if you do that, you'll make it. You'll make it. Jesus experienced temptation. He had the physical battles. Christ himself was more than a conqueror, and he wants you to be the same. Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also, what did he do? Overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The success, the overcoming, is what he calls of his people. Spoken that was to Christians in Laodicea. That was a message to the church. That's a message to you and me. The one who overcomes will sit with me on my throne, as I also had overcome. You can do it too. And this journey is not easy, and this journey is difficult, but Christ knows fully your struggles today. Listen, there's not a person in this room that Christ is not aware of what you're going through. He's strong. Do not be discouraged. Do not be weakened. I want you to understand that if he is not your focal point, you will lose your battle. You will lose the battle. You will lose the battle. When I go to the doctor's surgery and I get in there and he says to me, right, this is what you've got to do. Listen, I'm going to fix my eyes on whatever I've got to do. If he says, you've got to take this medication, I'll take it. I'll take it. He says, take this. It'll get you through. And you will take it. And so this is the same thing. In our spiritual well-being, God is providing the things we need to understand and take. If you are not careful, this is the devil's victory. If you are not careful, you'll backslide. You'll slip away. You'll fall away from the body. You know, the second letter to the Ephesians, I mentioned this before, there are two letters to the Ephesians. We always think of one Ephesians. You know, we've got 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We've got Ephesians, but there is a second letter to Ephesians that was written to the elders. And these were written to men who the Apostle Paul had been with years before. And they received this, Revelation 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have had patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know what they did? Their eyes moved. They deviated. They were no longer looking at the one who was the author and perfecter of their life. They were looking in other directions and quite often looking at themselves. They were doing all the right things. They were singing all the hymns. They were doing all the things that you'd expect. They were patient and they bore with those who were evil, and they tested those who say they are apostles and are not, so they stood up against the opponents. He says, you persevered and have had the patience and have laboured for me. But the problem is, you forgot me. You forgot your first love. And so this, brethren, is why when we see this, you have left your first love when you take your eyes off him. No longer is Christ your focal point. You have forgotten the presence of God. There are people in the Bible who set off with God at their side and they were doing so well. And then all of a sudden they veered away and they went in their own direction. And when they went in their own direction, everything fell apart. You read it, you'll see it. Everything fell apart. Let's finish with Hebrews 12. I don't think we could do this lesson without Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here we go. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, some passages will say author, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, I want to encourage you today. Leave here confident. Leave here knowing that you share the same kind of trials, in some cases, different kinds of trials, but we've all got things going on in our life. The only thing I can tell you is this: fix your eyes on Christ and you'll get through. You'll come through these things. You belong here. This is your home. May God bless you. Amen.